This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello, this is Jean at the Talking Information Center reading the Fortune program with articles from Fortune and Forbes magazines. Today, from Forbes magazine, The Art of the Spiel. Billionaire Christian Angermeyer has backed seemingly every flashy investment of the last decade. Crypto, psychedelics, brain implants, longevity. With boundless bravado and a roster of famous friends, including Peter Thiel, Uma Thurman, and the president of Rwanda, he's getting ready to launch an Olympiad for athletes on steroids. By Will Yakovitz and Brandon Kokadin. In a suite on the fourth floor of the Four Seasons in Austin, Texas, the German billionaire Christian Angermeyer is talking about his newest investment, the Enhanced Games, a 21st century Olympics on steroids, literally. A year ago, when Angermeyer's friend Aaron D'Souza, an entrepreneur and the lawyer who worked with Peter Thiel to take down Gawker Media, mentioned he wanted to disrupt the Olympics by launching a major sporting event that allows athletes to dope with performance-enhancing drugs under a doctor's supervision, Angermeyer thought the idea was brilliant. "I look at the world through the lens of what's the business model or how can we make money," he says, while a stylist puts some light makeup on his face and perfects his jet black hair before an appearance on the Joe Rogan Experience. "I said, hey, that's a multi-billion dollar idea." The 46-year-old Angermeyer, who is worth $1.1 billion and invests through his family office, the Malta-based Aperon Investment Group, has sunk about $2.5 million into the Enhanced Games. Thiel and Balaji Srinivasan, the Silicon Valley venture capitalist and cryptocurrency entrepreneur, also invested in the project. The organization, which will feature a $1 million prize to whoever breaks the 100-meter sprint world record and the 50-meter freestyle world record in swimming, hopes to launch its first competition in 2025 with five sports. While the Olympics have had a 3,000-year head start, Angermeyer, with the bravado of a gold medalist, believes that an international sporting event that allows steroids and other drugs, with a focus on pushing the limits of human potential, will easily surpass the ancient games. "Humans are wired to want to see the fastest man or woman," he says. "They don't want to see the fastest natural man." He says the Enhanced Games will be broadcast live, possibly from an arena or a soundstage, and he has no doubt it will be a success. The London-based company is in talks to raise $300 million. "It's going to be one of the biggest sports franchises out there," he continues with unbridled optimism over a meal of scrambled eggs and smoked salmon in his suite. "If we do that, it's going to be worth $5 to $10 billion. I could dream bigger, but that's realistic." Of course, many of Angermeyer's projects don't seem realistic or even possible at first blush. His sui generis investment portfolio, which is mostly held through Aperon, $2.5 billion in assets under management, ranges from crypto mining to psychedelic drugs to dinosaur fossils to brain implants, but don't call him faddish. "If I'm faddish, then I created the trend," says Angermeyer, who has a tattoo of the chemical structure of psilocybin, the psychoactive compound in magic mushrooms, on his right forearm. "I'm spotting things very early." Private equity cum crypto billionaire Mike Novogratz, who wrote the first check, alongside Angermeyer and Thiel, to Compass Pathways, a British biotech conducting clinical trials on psilocybin, says Angermeyer's real superpower is networking. "His ability to connect people with capital and opportunities is extraordinary," says Novogratz, who has invested alongside Angermeyer in other ventures, including the controversial crypto company Block One and ATAI Life Sciences, a psychedelic drug startup Angermeyer founded, which hopes to gain FDA approval to treat mental illnesses. He is a stunning networker. The 59-year-old Novogratz met Ungermeyer in 2010 when he was advising U.S.-based funds with investments abroad, pro bono, about how to deal with the European financial crisis. A member of the German parliament was in tow. As he does with FAD, Ungermeyer bristles at the word networker. Too many people network solely to get what they want out of others, he says. For a man who need not work ever again, he has dedicated time and effort to create what he calls a diverse life, filled with friends who run or used to run countries, former German Chancellor Angela Merkel, star in Hollywood films, Uma Thurman, or make more money than he does, Novogratz and Thiel. I would say if you wanted to call it networking, look at it the same way as with money, he says. It's about the power of compounding. And as often as he can be spotted behind many zeitgeisty investments of the last decade, he also makes cameos in high-profile scandals. It was Ungermeyer who, in 2019, brokered a $1.1 billion investment by SoftBank into the now insolvent German payments company Wirecard, which collapsed after auditors reported the company was missing $2.1 billion in cash. For that, Ungermeyer was paid around $12 million. I literally just made the introduction, Ungermeyer says. I agreed on a 1% fee, which is not even high, by the way. During Ungermeyer's 40th birthday party in 2018 at a friend's castle in Austria, he reportedly introduced Thiel to Daniel Bislinger, a Russian who works for the Kremlin's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Thiel, according to Business Insider, which broke the story, reported the meeting to the FBI, saying that Bislinger invited him to speak at a conference in St. Petersburg and offered a meeting with Vladimir Putin. Bislinger apparently reached out to Thiel again with the same offer to meet Putin in 2022. Thiel did not respond to a request for comment. The ensuing scandal is so absurd, Ungermeyer says, explaining that the whole narrative was made up. I had a birthday party. I had two friends. They met each other there, he says. Whatever friends of mine do, it's not my thing. Raised in the 200-person village of Triebendorf, Germany, not far from the Czech Republic, Ungermeyer has come a long way from his humble beginnings. His father worked in construction. His mother, before staying home to raise him, was a secretary. He was obsessed with business from a young age. Having learned how to write in grade school, his first project was creating an invoice, which his mother apparently still has. When he was six, his parents took him to the Care Bears movie. Young Christian loved the film, but he was even more fascinated, that his parents paid for a ticket. When they returned home from the theater, he took the remote control, wrote up a price list, and started charging his mother and father to watch TV. My parents were really worried, he says. Now they're proud, but at the time they thought, what did we do wrong? Ungermeyer's life would be good fodder for a German fairy tale about entrepreneurs, by his telling. In 1998, he was admitted to the University of Bayreuth, and within the first month he met two professors, Stefan Limmer and Roland Kreutzer, who were working on a novel gene-targeting technology called RNA interference. The academics then started a company with Ungermeyer called Ribopharma AG. While the smart, scrappy 21-year-old had only a small stake, Ribopharma was backed by the German government, enabling Ungermeyer to drop out of school. In 2003, Ribopharma merged with a Massachusetts-based company, Alnylam, which later went public. At 25, Ungermeyer was a multimillionaire. While still in his 20s, he made a connection that would later pay off handsomely. He became close with Golo Quandt, a member of one of Germany's richest families. After Ribopharma, Ungermeyer had co-founded a financial services firm called Ungermeyer Brum and Lange Group with two college friends. ABL had a hard time raising money until, In 2004, Quant invested an estimated $40 million across a series of companies. If that weren't enough, in 2007, a friend of Angermeyer's who worked for Germany's foreign ministry asked if he would host a dinner for Paul Kagame, the president of Rwanda. Angermeyer and Kagame hit it off, and a few weeks later he was invited to visit Kigali, Rwanda's capital. During his trip to Rwanda, which Angermeyer calls the Singapore of Africa due to its business-friendly atmosphere, he told Kagame that he wanted to invest in the country. Kagame told him a small bank, the Banque Rwandaise de Développement, was for sale. "I literally came home and bought a bank for $10 million," he recalls. He then created the African Development Corporation, a Frankfurt-based banking group, and hired a CEO who executed a roll-up of regional banks across nearly a dozen countries on the continent. In 2014, Angermeyer and his partners sold ADC to the disgraced former CEO of Barclays, Bob Diamond, and his African financial firm, Atlas, in a deal that included another banking outfit for more than $265 million. Angermeyer says he had a 15% stake in ADC at the time. Kagame, who appointed Angermeyer to his presidential advisory council, has a lot of respect for the investor. In an email to Forbes, he praised Angermeyer's optimistic view of the future and his ability to create megatrends. By the time he cashed out of ADC, Angermeyer, then 36, had struck out on his own with a new investment firm, Operon, and focused on how he wanted to live his life. "I just want to do things which really, truly fascinate me," he says. Known as a teetotaler, he claims he has drunk just a few drops of alcohol. Angermeyer was persuaded by a friend to take magic mushrooms while on a Caribbean vacation in 2014. "It was the single most important experience of my life," he says. After the trip, he visited Novogratz in New York and told him that mushrooms have the potential to become a blockbuster pharmaceutical drug. 3 days later, in a sheer coincidence, a man named George Goldsmith came into Novogratz's office and pitched a business to develop psilocybin into a depression medication. Novogratz, Thiel, and Angermeyer invested $1 million each into the London-based company, Compass. A few years later, in 2018, Angermeyer started his own psychedelics firm, ATAI Life Sciences, which he took public on the NASDAQ in 2021. He owns a 20% stake, currently worth $44 million. ATAI is conducting clinical trials on a suite of psychedelics, from DMT to Ibogaine to MDMA. In all, Angermeyer has invested $40 million in the company. "If we succeed, and if we medicalize psychedelics, ATAI will be a double, triple-digit billion-dollar company," he says. Somewhere along the line, he also got into Bitcoin. He still owns about 1,000 of them, worth about $58 million at the current price of $58,000. He's a true believer who thinks a single Bitcoin will eventually be worth $1 million. "People overcomplicate Bitcoin," he says. "It's digital gold." He also believes that science will eventually be able to keep humans from aging, predicting that living to 100 will one day be common. To that end, he co-founded two longevity companies, Zurich-based Rejuveron and Cambrian Bio in New York. Both are developing FDA-approved medications to help people delay aging. His investment thesis, as futuristic as it is optimistic, is hard to refute: sell long-term health and vanity. "Happiness and longevity are for me the most natural products," Angermeyer says. "You won't find anyone who says, 'I don't want to be happy,' and 'I don't want to be healthy.'" As always, he is his own best marketing message. He looks much younger than his 46 years. He says he takes a stack of performance-enhancing drugs, although he won't reveal his formula. He wants people to go to a doctor and get professional advice, as he does. He also undergoes psychedelic-assisted therapy once or twice a year in a country where it's legal. It's like a broad-spectrum antibiotic for your brain, he says. Other biohacks include taking modafinil, the non-amphetamine stimulant used to treat narcoleptics, to combat jet lag. He is also not shy about saying he uses Ozempic for weight loss, even though he is quite trim. It's outsourced discipline, he told Rogan in June. For a man so focused on the future, Ungermeyer has a passion that's deeply buried in the past, collecting dinosaur bones. He hires literal cowboys for his venture in Montana to prospect for and dig up fossils. His collection includes a Diplodocus, one of the largest triceratops ever found, and a young T-Rex, which he says is worth $40 million. He named it Chomper, in homage to Don Bluth's The Land Before Time. It's a little bit like oil drilling, he says. I got hooked on it, and it's an amazing investment. Overall, Ungermeyer's portfolio has been a bit of a mixed bag lately. He says certain investments, like BlackRock Neurotech, a Utah-based brain-computer interface company, and Canadian artificial intelligence-powered drug discovery firm Obsolera, have resulted in a 5x return. Block One, the crypto company, netted $70 million for his investors, he says, while his hedge fund, Jiva Peak, which is focused on small to mid-cap biotech stocks, posted a 59% return between its November 2023 launch and this spring. But some of his publicly traded positions have taken a beating. ATAI, which went public in June 2021 at nearly $20 a share, is currently trading for less than $1.30, only a little north of the minimum $1 it needs to stay listed on the NASDAQ. Ungermeyer blames biotech stocks falling out of favor on rising interest rates. That's not entirely unreasonable, but while the NASDAQ biotech index is down 13% since ATAI went public, ATAI shares are down 92%. I could name 50 companies in biotech that are doing really, really well and are trading 90% down, Ungermeyer says. I didn't do anything wrong. It's a similar, if marginally less bleak, story with Northern Data, a Germany-based Bitcoin miner. Northern Data has more than halved from about €60 in 2020, when Ungermeyer took a position, to nearly €17 today. In June, the former COO and CFO of the company's U.S. subsidiary filed a wrongful termination lawsuit alleging Northern Data was misrepresenting its financial condition and evading taxes. Northern Data said it refutes the allegations in the strongest terms and suggested that the lawsuit is financially motivated. The whole industry has struggled since its pandemic peaks, but even compared just to a group of large cryptocurrency miners like Marathon Digital Holdings, Riot Platforms, CleanSpark, Hut 8, and Iris Energy, Ungermeyer's investment doesn't look good. Over that period, Northern Data is down 79%, the worst among the bunch. I think Northern Data has a massive disadvantage of being listed in Germany, and I hope the management is changing that soon and doing a U.S. listing, Ungermeyer says in an email, sharing a screenshot from his Bloomberg terminal showing that the company has outpaced Marathon, if you use a shorter time frame, starting in November 2022. In the case of ATAI, Novogratz insists that even though the stock has collapsed, Ungermeyer deserves credit for creative thinking and raising money to explore whether psychedelics can help address the global mental health crisis. According to Novogratz, Ungermeyer raised more capital for the psychedelic space in the first 9 months we were together than the whole space raised in the previous 25 years. Novogratz remains bullish about the company's prospects, even though the value of his stake fell from $170 million shortly after the initial public offering to less than $15 million today. Nobly, or unfortunately, depending on how you want to think about it, he says, I didn't sell any of my shares. Setbacks aside, there is always more zeitgeist investing to be done. Among the topics Ungermeyer is thinking about is how the transgender rights movement is creating more bodily autonomy for people, and how humans have replaced religion with other forms of worship, from sports to celebrity. He regards Swifties, for instance, as a powerful new cult. Ungermeyer's bullet train of thought then brings him to a hypothetical investment idea. What if you could buy an index of the world's top 20 A-list celebrities? His thesis hinges on the idea that trust in institutions is crumbling and people are turning instead to the rich and famous. If you say, whom do you trust more, the U.S. government or Taylor Swift? I think 90% would say Taylor Swift, he says. And while that celebrity index might not exist just yet, Ungermeyer lets drop that he's about to start a new business with his friend Uma Thurman. Next, from Fortune magazine, Meet Your New Coworker, The Humanoid, by Jason Del Rey. Inside many Amazon warehouses are workers known as water spiders, who pick up and move the numerous plastic storage bins used to shuttle goods around the facility and who restock worker stations with merchandise, boxes, and other materials. At a warehouse in Sumner, Washington, recently, a special crew of workers stepped in to help the people moving the plastic bins, humanoid robots. The droids, made by Agility Robotics, are about the size of a person and can walk around the warehouse floor as well as squeeze into tight spaces thanks to their backward knees. Amazon, which has invested in the startup through its Industrial Innovation Fund, is testing a handful of digits, as the agility robots are called, observing how well the droids communicate with its other warehouse systems, as well as how the company's human workers feel about their robotic colleagues. For most of modern history, robots that looked like us and walked like us have largely been relegated to movie and TV screens, while the robots in factories and other real-world settings have taken the less sexy form of mechanical arms or oversized Roombas. That's starting to change as a new crop of startups make humanoid robots a reality and promise corporate managers increased productivity and a solution to labor shortages. At a time when generative AI is already raising worries about job loss, however, the rise of the humanoids is likely to bring further urgency to public concerns about automation and employment. The new machines look like something straight out of science fiction. Figure, a Sunnyvale, California startup backed by OpenAI, recently unveiled its O2 model, a sleek matte gray and black robot with 6 cameras for eyes and onboard AI to help it see and interact with humans. Carmaker BMW has tested a Figure robot at a South Carolina facility. Tesla CEO Musk, meanwhile, predicts his company's Optimus robots will be in production for internal use by the end of 2025 and the following year for other companies. Even if Musk's timeline proves fanciful, as his often do, the billionaire's impact on the robotics sector is undeniable, says Carnegie Mellon University Robotics Institute professor Chris Atkisson. When Elon Musk says he is going to create a new industry, people pay attention, Atkisson tells Fortune. Equally important have been advances in robotic hardware and artificial intelligence. NVIDIA, for example, recently announced a large AI model called Project Groot, aimed at training humanoids, while OpenAI has launched an initiative to develop models for robotics. In September, investment management firm ARK published a bullish report about humanoid robots that put the potential market at trillions of dollars. Although the report did not provide any specific timeline, it posited that if the cost of a humanoid robot were to be $16,000, the droid would need to deliver only 5% more efficiency than a human worker to be economically efficient. How close we are to that day depends on who you talk to. Humanoids can cost around $150,000 each to produce, according to a January report from Goldman Sachs. The companies declined to provide pricing to Fortune. Proponents of the humanoid form factor say that costs will only come down, and they talk of the technology's game-changing potential in ways that can sound utopian. We're basically going to live in a world where any physical labor is a choice, says Brett Adcock, the founder and CEO of Figure. Adcock's company has raised more than $700 million since its 2022 founding and counts Microsoft, NVIDIA, Intel Capital, and Jeff Bezos via his investment firm among its backers. Agility, led by former Microsoft executive Peggy Johnson, has raised $180 million and is seeking more. Johnson expects to produce hundreds of humanoids in 2025 at a facility in Salem, Oregon, ramping up to thousands and eventually a maximum of 10,000 annually. For all their promise, humanoids still have their limits. Many of the current robots can operate for only about 4 to 5 hours before needing a battery recharge. And not everyone is convinced that the human physique is the ideal form for a robot. Amazon spokesperson Xavier Van Chau told Fortune that while the e-commerce giant sees promise in the humanoid form factor, it hasn't yet determined if it will use them long-term and also wants to test other types of robots, perhaps those that move with wheels instead of legs. One humanoid skeptic is Brad Porter, the former vice president of robotics at Amazon. According to Porter, there's a fundamental problem with creating a robot capable of operating autonomously in different settings. There's not enough data to train AI models to safely control the robots. Porter isn't exactly a neutral observer. His startup, Cobot, is developing robots that use wheels instead of legs, a design he says is less costly and more practical for many tasks. A swerve drive allows the robot to move in any direction, while multifunctional arms can lift and grasp everything from boxes to trays. The company hasn't announced any customers, but says its robots should be able to eventually work in settings ranging from manufacturing and fulfillment facilities to hospitals and stadiums. Among its investors is Amazon founder Bezos. Whatever shape these robots ultimately take, the question remains of what happens to human jobs as robot use increases. Agility's Johnson says Digit is taking on tasks humans don't want, or that an aging workforce can't or shouldn't be doing. Figures Adcock is more fatalistic. Technological advancements, whether it's the creation of a dishwasher or a human-mimicking robot, are inevitable. It's basically what's been happening for two centuries. That concludes this week's edition of the Fortune Program. My name is Jean, and it's been a pleasure to read for you.
Hello, and welcome to Readings from Kiplinger Personal Finance, read to you by Steve Malisi. 10 things you should leave out of your will, according to experts. Are you unclear about the things you should leave out of your will when estate planning? Legal experts share the 10 items to exclude. Many Americans underestimate the importance of estate planning. Roughly 40% of people who don't have a will say it's because they don't have enough assets to leave anyone, according to Caring.com's 2024 Wills and Estate Planning Study. However, having a proper estate plan in place is essential, regardless of how much money you have, as it does more than distribute your assets. It outlines how your personal affairs will be managed after you're gone, and the kind of medical care you want to receive. Estate planning is especially important for women and single adults, who often have fewer assets or support as they age. No one particularly wants to think about death, though, especially your own. So, if the idea of estate planning has got you down, start with a will. It's the anchor of your estate plan and can help avoid probate, which forces your heirs to enter a potentially lengthy legal process to distribute your assets. Things you should leave out of your will. Not everything should be included in your will. Kiplinger solicited input from several legal experts on what items to exclude from your will when estate planning. Here's what they recommend. Number one, gifts or bequests to a child or other individual with special needs. You need to be very careful when leaving assets to a person with special needs. Often that individual receives government benefits that are means tested, i.e. Medicaid, SSI, and leaving assets outright to them can cause them to lose their government benefits or the inheritance. If you are leaving assets to a person with special needs in your will, be sure to leave it in a supplemental needs trust. Number two, pets, and money for their care. We love our four-legged family members and often want to ensure they are looked after even if we pass before they do. But pets are considered property and can't be named as beneficiaries or inherit anything from a will. You could earmark a certain amount of money and ask a family member to care for the pet, but once the funds are released to them, there is no legal obligation to follow your exact wishes. So it is best to leave pets out of the will and instead set up a pet trust to ensure the well-being of your furry friend. 3. Non-probate assets. Your will only controls the transfer of probate assets. Non-probate assets are all assets that have a designated beneficiary, such as life insurance, 401k, brokerage accounts, IRAs. Even bank accounts can name a beneficiary and be non-probate. If you name someone to take a non-probate asset in your will, the problem is that the beneficiary designation will supersede your will. If you have the same named beneficiary on the account and in the will, this is not a problem. If the beneficiaries are different, this can cause contention and invite challenge to your estate plan. Number 4. Terms that leave fixed, high, or unrealistic dollar amounts to individuals. If your estate doesn't have as much money in it someday as you assume, you could be draining funds away from your primary beneficiaries because your will is stuck with a large, fixed sum of money that is required to pay out. For example, if your will said, I leave $100,000 to my friend Robert and the rest in equal shares to my children, and you wind up only having $50,000 in your estate when you pass away, your children likely won't receive anything because they are stuck with Robert's large bequest ahead of their residuary distribution. It is much better to leave property in shares or percentages to your beneficiaries, which allows your estate to flexibly adapt to any size of a portfolio. Number 5. Conditional gifts. I'd also recommend not including any conditional gifts, such as, if Anna stays married to Ben, Mary shall receive $100,000 from my assets. We want to exclude conditional gifts because they can lead to complications and legal challenges and make the estate more difficult to settle. Number 6. Secure information. I regularly explain to clients that Social Security numbers, financial account information, and passwords to accounts should never be provided within the will itself. The reason for such is that upon death, the will is filed with the court in the state where the decedent lived. At that point, the will is a public document whereby potential heirs and court staff may view it. Such information opens the possibility for individuals who are not otherwise authorized to access the accounts to now possibly gain access and wipe out those accounts. If you are wanting to ease the burden on your executor to identify your assets, debts, accounts, and passwords, consider creating a separate document for that information and safekeeping it with your will and other important documents. If it is a separate document, it does not have to be filed like the will and could be extremely helpful to your executor. Number 7. Funeral instructions. First, don't specify funeral arrangements in your will. They may not be reviewed until after the funeral. Instead, communicate your wishes directly with your loved ones or include them in a separate document. Number 8. Guns. In 2024, there was one class of assets that I would absolutely exclude from distribution by will: guns. Guns are a unique asset and require the owner meet state and federal regulations, i.e. minimum age, mental capacity, etc. And for that reason, we encourage gun trusts to transfer and track those gifts without running afoul of the law. Number 9. Disparagements to potential beneficiaries. Another item I would not include would be any disparagements to potential beneficiaries. I have represented many clients who wanted to disinherit a child and wanted to list the reason. This will just cause more hurt feelings and anger and could lead to a challenge of your will. It's much better to simply state, for reasons best known to me, I make no provision for X. And finally, number 10, business interests. Passing business interests within a trust will allow for more privacy when it comes to business holdings and information. Consider setting up a separate agreement for the distribution of your business to avoid probate and ensure a smooth transition. 10 worst things to buy on Amazon. It's become second nature for many online shoppers to go straight to Amazon.com to make a purchase. But are you really getting the best deal? Especially Amazon Prime members who shop using their voice-activated Alexa devices. And why not? Amazon's selection is vast. Its prices tend to be low, and the free 2-day shipping that comes with a Prime membership is reliable and convenient. But while Amazon does indeed offer many great deals, it doesn't always offer the best deal on every item it sells. We asked several shopping experts to weigh in on which products online shoppers should avoid on Amazon. While cost is critical, it's not always the deciding factor. Here we are with some of the worst things to buy on Amazon. Our list should come in handy when deciding what you should buy during Prime's next Big Deal Days event. Number 1. Name brand clothing and accessories. Most major department stores, specialty stores, and big box retailers that sell name brand clothing and accessories regularly offer in-store coupons and online discount promo codes. These are savings that you simply won't always get on Amazon. You can easily spend at least 20% more buying name brand clothing from Amazon compared to clothing-specific retailers such as Lands' End, American Eagle, or Macy's, says Kyle James, founder of RatherBeShopping.com, a site that aggregates in-store and online coupons and discount codes. For example, we spotted a Marc Jacobs Women's Mini Pillow Shoulder Bag on Amazon for $350. You'll pay way less for the same handbag at Nordstrom Rack, where it was priced at $149.97. If you've spotted a fashion item on Amazon that you'd like to buy, do some comparison shopping first. As long as it's not a hot-ticket item that may sell out fast, you may want to wait until another retailer selling the item has a sale, for example, an end-of-season clearance, or offers an online discount code, James recommends. Number 2. Off-brand electronics. Buying electronics, such as laptops, digital cameras, or televisions, on Amazon can be tricky. Whether you buy directly from Amazon or from a third-party seller on Amazon Marketplace. Unlike at brick-and-mortar retailers, you can't physically see or touch a desired item online before buying it. You also don't have the luxury of being able to ask a customer service representative any questions in person about the product. The purchasing decision becomes even trickier with off-brand electronics, which don't have the reputation and reliability that come with name brands. As such, you run the risk of purchasing sight unseen a poor quality product with a short lifespan. It may be worth the peace of mind to buy pricey electronics from a big box retailer, where you can ask questions and get immediate assistance if there's a problem with the purchase. If you decide to buy from Amazon, beware of unreliable third-party sellers offering subpar off-brand products or even name-brand knockoffs, says Sandra Latham, a staff writer for Cheapism.com. Start by reading customer reviews, but do so with a skeptical eye. Even if there are a ton of 5-star reviews, confirm they are substantive and don't simply say the product is great without explanation, Latham adds. That could signal it's a fake review. Next, check the third-party seller's refund return policies, which can differ from Amazon's. Finally, go to the seller's merchant page and send a message with any product-related questions you may have. The responses, or lack of one, can help you determine whether buying the item is a smart move. Number 3, Costco Kirkland products. It might come as a surprise to Costco members, but the Warehouse Club's popular Kirkland Signature store brand products are also sold on Amazon.com. Online shoppers who don't want to pay Costco's annual membership of $65 might be tempted to add Kirkland items to their Amazon shopping cart. But that would be a costly mistake, says Cindy Livesey, founder of LivingRichWithCoupons.com. The price markups on all the Kirkland products sold on Amazon are substantial. For instance, We recently found a 2-bottle pack of Kirkland Signature Adult Multivitamin Gummies, 250 count total, for $29.43 on Amazon, versus just $16.99 at Costco for a 320 count. A 30-roll pack of Kirkland Signature 2-ply toilet paper, 380 sheets each, totaled $42.99 on Amazon, while the Warehouse Club had the same package for only $23.49. To score the best deals, you'll want to shop in-store at Costco. That's because prices on certain items available on Costco.com are priced higher than what you'll find at the brick-and-mortar locations. Also, depending on the item, you may have to pay for shipping. Consumers should also be aware that most of Amazon's inventory of Costco's Kirkland Signature products is sold by third-party sellers. Shipment on some of these items is fulfilled by Amazon. Others are shipped directly from the seller. If you need to dispute an order for items shipped by the seller, Amazon requires that you contact the seller directly first to attempt to work it out before they step in. Number 4. High-end beauty products. When it comes to high-end cosmetics items, think La Mer and Estee Lauder, you should probably steer clear of Amazon altogether, Cheapisms.com's Latham advises. That's because the site has a documented problem with counterfeiters in its third-party marketplace, she notes. Those merchants could be selling fake cosmetics or skincare products with harmful ingredients, like arsenic, mercury, and lead. Buy high-end cosmetics directly from the manufacturer's website or through an authorized retailer like Sephora or Ulta to ensure you're getting an authentic product. To find out if a particular retailer is authorized to sell a desired product, contact the manufacturer's customer service department through their website or by phone. They should be able to provide a list of authorized sellers near you. Number 5. Fine jewelry. When it comes to purchasing fine jewelry, such as a diamond ring, it may be wise to skip Amazon and shop at a brick-and-mortar establishment instead, suggests Cheapisms Latham. If you're planning to spend several hundred or even thousands of dollars on a piece of jewelry, you'll want to be able to examine the intricate details, including how it sparkles in the light, as well as the cut, color, and clarity of the stone in person, she notes. Otherwise, if you receive the item and decide you don't like it, you'll be forced to jump through several hoops to return the order to Amazon and get a refund. According to Amazon's return policy on jewelry, jewelry and watch items with a value of $35 or more must be returned using a trackable shipping method. All product packaging, boxes, manuals, warranty cards, etc., and certificates of authenticity, grading, and appraisal must be returned with the item. Any items returned without original documentation will be rejected. And items that have been resized, damaged, or otherwise altered after delivery won't be accepted for return. It's worth taking the extra step to visit a fine jewelry store in person. That way, you can talk with a sales professional about any issues you may have with the desired item. Number 6. Gift wrapping paper. If you're one of those holiday shoppers who likes to plan well in advance, you might be thinking about stocking up on essentials such as gift wrapping paper during the off-peak time of year. While Amazon does offer a variety of options, its prices on gift wrapped aren't the cheapest. Your local dollar store is the go-to place for cheap gift wrap, LivingRichWithCoupons.com's Livesy says. At Dollar Tree, we found several types of gift wrapping paper, from printed to solid colors, that range in size from 12 to 20 square foot rolls, all for $1 each. Expect to pay a good bit more on Amazon. And if you decide to go to the dollar store route, consider picking up a few other gift-giving essentials at bargain prices, including greeting cards, invisible tape, decorative ribbons, and gift bags that you can snag for a buck. No dollar store near you? Keep an eye out for holiday clearance sales at retailers such as Walmart and Target. You should be able to stock up on gift wrapping paper and related items in larger quantities at deeply discounted prices, too. Number 7. Large appliances. Buying larger appliances online, such as a washer, dryer, or refrigerator, can be problematic. Yes, customer reviews are helpful, but nothing beats being able to examine appliances up close at an actual store. That way, you can take measurements, see hookups, and peruse features, not to mention ask questions of a sales rep in person. Big box retailers and major department stores including Best Buy and Sears are popular with consumers on the hunt for large appliances. It's simply easier to ensure you're getting exactly what you need, the right size and specs, in store, Latham says. Another upside, you can haggle over the price, which physical retailers are willing to do face-to-face on large appliance purchases, she adds. If you insist on buying through Amazon, Latham recommends sticking with the Kenmore brand, which the e-commerce giant sells directly. Prime members also get 2-day shipping on eligible items. Keep in mind, however, that returns can be a hassle. If you're returning a major appliance for any reason other than it arrived damaged, or you were sent the incorrect item, you're responsible for scheduling the return and paying the shipping costs. Also, if you didn't discover that you purchased the wrong appliance until after it had been delivered and an installation attempt was made, installation and labor costs will be deducted from your refund. Large appliances purchased through third-party merchants are subject to that merchant's return policy. Number 8, home improvement goods. Home improvement stores such as Lowe's and Home Depot are consumer favorites for good reason. Their vast inventory, knowledgeable staff, and bargain prices are the main draw, ratherbyshoppings.com says. You'll find the best deals on hand and power tools, as well as hardware including nails and screws, at these big box retailers compared to Amazon, he adds. We found a Cobalt 20-piece standard and metric combination ratchet wrench set on Amazon for $121. That same set was priced at $99 at Lowe's, $22 cheaper than the e-commerce giant. How are big box retailers able to hold up against Amazon when others have been hard hit? Amazon has a difficult time competing on price with Home Depot and Lowe's because those chains still have more leverage with their suppliers. They're able to get their costs down and pass the savings on to their customers, says James. Number 9, school supplies. If you have young children or grandchildren, you'll need to restock their supply of pencils, pens, paper, and crayons regularly. For those on a budget, Amazon should not be the first place to turn to, regardless of whether you're a Prime member with access to expedited shipping. As with gift wrap, it's hard to compete with your local dollar store's prices on school supplies, LivingRichWithCoupons.com's Livesies says. You can find everything from composition notebooks to index cards to glue sticks, even buy them in bulk, for a fraction of what you'd pay on Amazon. At Amazon, we found a 4-pack of composition notebooks, 100 sheets each, for $12.99. At Dollar General, you can purchase composition notebooks for a dollar. And finally, number 10, mattresses. If you're in the market for a new mattress, consider buying it directly from the manufacturer instead of Amazon. That's because when you shop for a mattress using the e-commerce giant, you may get a shorter trial period compared to what the manufacturer offers. Cheapisms.com's Latham calls out Brentwood Home, a luxury mattress and bedding brand whose products are available for purchase on Amazon in addition to its own site. When you buy a mattress from BrentwoodHome.com, your purchase comes with a 1-year risk-free trial period. This means you can return the mattress in good condition for a full refund up to 365 days after purchase. If you buy one of their mattresses that's sold by and shipped from Amazon, you only have 30 days to return it if you're not satisfied. You'll also miss out on exclusive manufacturer discounts by opting to shop on Amazon. Another thing to be cautious of when shopping on Amazon is buying through third-party sellers. If you go this route, it's at the seller's discretion whether they'll accept a return if you're not satisfied with the purchase. Essentially, you could be stuck with an expensive mattress you can't use and ultimately will still need to replace. Paying it forward, helping teachers supply their classrooms. Through Donor Choose, you can contribute to projects that benefit educators and their students. Alex Guerrieri, CEO of Donors Choose in Washington, D.C. Kiplinger, what is Donors Choose? Guerrieri, Donors Choose is a national nonprofit organization focused on supporting teachers. Public school teachers anywhere in the country can come to DonorsChoose.org and create a request for items that they need for their classrooms. And individuals can come to the site to donate to projects that interest them. We also work with companies and foundations, state governments, and other entities for large-scale gifts, which go toward the same purchase of supporting teacher needs. A big differentiator between us and other crowdfunding platforms is that when a teacher's request is funded, we don't send cash. Instead, we procure the requested items ourselves and send them to the schools so they become district property. That creates a layer of transparency. Donors can see exactly where their funds are going. Districts know what's coming in, and we can be sure that the teacher's instructional objectives are being met. How did Donors Choose get its start? Many public school teachers pay out of pocket hundreds of dollars a year per teacher on average to help supply their classrooms. And our founder, Charles Best, was one of them when he was a high school history teacher in the Bronx. He wanted to bring some books into his classroom, but he didn't have the resources to do it. So Charles started Donors Choose for himself and for his colleagues at that Bronx high school. Donors Choose grew to support other schools in New York, and eventually it became available to teachers across the country. At last count, nearly 90% of American schools have had at least one Donors Choose project fulfilled since our founding in 2000. What kind of projects get funded? Oh, it's a big range. Classroom basics are common. Papers, pencils, markers, rulers, books, furniture, and technology such as headphones for computer workstations. But it goes as far as you can imagine. Teachers are doing creative arts projects as well as sports, music, and entrepreneurial projects. A category that we call warmth, care, and hunger has also been growing. Teachers may use Donors Choose to create a food pantry or a stock of health supplies for their classrooms. Coming back from the pandemic, for example, getting hand sanitizer was big. But teachers also use Donors Choose to help kids who might need a backpack or warm clothing. So really, the projects involve gathering the most important resources that teachers know they need to bring to their classrooms to maximize their students' learning. Do donors get to see how teachers use their gifts? Teachers send feedback about how the donations impacted their project. So donors get a chance to see the results firsthand and understand that this is a transformational model that really opens up new opportunities for kids. Some of the most fun conversations that I have are with individuals who almost make it a hobby to come to the site, read through what teachers are trying to do, and donate to projects. Is the beginning of the school year a time of need in many classrooms? Yes. We have a few different periods of high interest during the year, and back-to-school season is one of the biggest. There's a lot of excitement. Teachers are either preparing for or getting started on new stuff that they want to do. It's a great time to support a project. And finally, financial pros share their book picks. Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff by Richard Carlson is a great book. It teaches you to focus on what really matters. It's not necessarily about finance, but you can apply the attitude and mentality that it embraces to money decisions, says Bob Chitrathon, Vice President of Wealth Planning for Simplified Wealth Management. I think I read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill in high school. It says that if you really want something, you should create a plan to make it happen. Imagine yourself achieving it and team up with those who share your goals. It's all about believing in yourself, working hard, and not giving up, says Dennis Futch, president of The Tax Shop. Robert Kiyosaki's books, including Rich Dad, Poor Dad, have helped a lot of people. I like Kiyosaki's advice to acquire income-generating assets, says Zane Jaffer, CEO and founder of Zane Ventures. I enjoy reading Your Money Vehicle, How to Begin Driving a Financial Freedom by Jedediah Collins, a former NFL player who's now a certified financial planner. Jedediah's company, Money Vehicle, has developed a personal finance curriculum for high school students, and the book was inspired by lessons from it. High schools in more than 20 U.S. states have now implemented the Money Vehicle program, says Justin Donald, founder of the Lifestyle Investor. And this has been Readings from Kiplinger Personal Finance, read to you by Steve Malisi. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.